We'll pick our text from there. I'm reading Matthew chapter 15. And it's not a long sermon because I was supposed to come here today to conclude the topic we'll be looking at, the power to overcome, a study of that character, Samson. We're supposed to conclude it today. And I came here to conclude it. It was during the song service that the Lord ministered to me. And I heard his voice, Jerry, and I ran to you. I said, please, if I forget this, I will ask you, please remind me, if I forget, I will ask you. It was a sermon topic that I had. That's why I quickly went. And the message was changed. I must follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. And I said, we need to speak some hard facts. So this exhortation is a fight. I never see anybody wear coat before they fight. It's a fight. So I remove my coat. Chapter 15, Matthew. Verse 7 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 and verse 8. A group of people are serving the Lord. They are serving God. But this is what the Lord Jesus Christ called them in his own crusade. He said, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And the topic of this short and very little short exhortation is near but far. That's what I told you, Cherry. I said, remind me, near but far. And the reason this burden came upon me, I was worried, and God wanted to settle this burden in my heart by making me to let out. It's because of one or two things we are observing recently around among so-called members of this ministry. I say so-called because even in Christianity there are so-called Christians. There are so-called Christians. They are so-called because they are make-believers. They are unbelievers in the church. All they have around them is a spirit of religion. And I told you, religion will take you nowhere. Religion can never take anybody to heaven. No. Because religion is defined as a way of life. And Christianity is not a way of life. Because if you say a way of life, then you make provision for other ways. So when you say, this is a boy, then it means there are other boys. That is, if there is singular, then there will be plural. So if you say, this is a girl, it means you can also say, these are girls. Now if you say, religion is a way to God, then you make provision for other ways to God. That's why we say Christianity is not religion. Christianity is not a way of life. Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Now when you say the way, it means no other way exists other than that way. I'm speaking grammar. Jesus Christ said, I am a way. What did he say? I am the way. The way. That is no alternative, no option to him. If you must get to God the Father, then that is the only way you will follow. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No controversy. No any truth anywhere else. No other life anywhere else. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he added, no man cometh to the Father except by me. That is why I say there are so-called Christians who all they see Christianity is just another way. That is why even when you hear them talking, you will hear them accommodating other religions from the way they talk. But church, I am not being fanatical. I'm a believer of the Bible. No other way. 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 Any other religion, any other means of worshiping the Lord outside of Jesus Christ, you will miss it totally. You will never get to God the Creator. Then which God are they worshiping? They are not worshiping the God of Israel, who is the only God. Any other religion is nothing but the worship of demons. That is a product of what Satan designed to achieve his ambition of being like the Most High God. His glory, our God say, he will not share with anything, with anyone. Now you need this revelation so that you will know where you are. If you profess Christianity, and people come to Christ and don't bother to study and know who this Jesus is, what is expected of me now that I'm a Christian, or now that I have decided to be a Christian? And it's necessary that we remind you, they are the same children of Abraham, supposedly covenant people, offering their sacrifices every day in Israel, in the temple. Pharisees, Sadducees, very religious, wash their feet, wash their hands, they perform all the rituals, keep all the ordinances. But all that they do it just for men to see. For men to see. But when truth, the God that they have been supposedly worshipping, appear before them now and began to reveal what is actually expected of them for that hour, for that day, for that hour, and for that day, they rejected him. Why? Because they had made up their mind. The worship of God is in your heart. First, it must be anchored in your heart. First. First. But a lot of people come to God, their own anchor is in their mouth. Are you a believer? Yes. I am bride. Yes. I attend bride assembly. Yes. I am this, I am that. And the Lord Jesus Christ turned and looked at them because he knows all things. What did he call them? He said, you hypocrite. A hypocrite is a pretender. A hypocrite is one, hallelujah, in his heart. What he's thinking is different from what he is acting. What he is thinking is different from what he is acting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You serve God with your mouth, but your heart is far from him. Far from him. It's far. Why? Because there are two forces that are dragging every human being on earth. The spirit of God and the spirit of this world. There are two princes in the Bible. Hallelujah. there is the prince that shall come. The Bible refers to him as the prince of this world. That is Satan, the devil, manifesting in the spirit of the Antichrist. And he is the architect of the spirit of error. And there is the second prince. Hallelujah. When the Bible wants to differentiate the two princes, it used small letter P for the Antichrist and the big letter P for the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. And these are two spirits. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. All of them are struggling for recognition. And all of them are struggling to get you and to get me. But what the prince of this world is using is so loud. It's so enticing. It's so strong. And it's very, very irresistible. But what the prince of peace is using to drag you to him is a still small voice. It's an appealing voice. Ever appealing. Come to me. Come. Come. I will give you rest. Come. 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 It's not as enticing. Hallelujah. It's not as enticing as the prince of this world. The prince of this world will use television to show you that for you to be a beautiful woman, see how you should dress. And he has anointed his seed to echo it out and said, this is real beauty. And so it is difficult in this age to have any Christian man or woman that will be totally cut off from the spirit of worldliness, especially fashion. Especially fashion. Very. And when I say fashion, it's not only women, it's both men and women. Men too have their fashion. We are watching the television yesterday also. So we are a young man. In fact, it's a brother in this church. He saw a minister that wore a suit. Frankly speaking, I'm not lying, that's the truth. I don't know whether there are different quality of suit. I only know different colors. Now color me, I know. I don't know. And then again, I know that by the design, there is coat and there is suit. There is coat. And there is suit. I know. That's all I know. The coat is the one this malam sell. It's 3,000 naira. Then I know there is suit. This young man looked at the television. Everything we are looking at a preacher. The preacher was preaching. I was busy looking at, trying to hear what the preacher is preaching. My brother was looking at the design of the cloth. And while the man made a point and the thing was striking me, as I was about to meditate over the preacher just spoke, I heard my brother shouting, "Hey, see the design of this man's cloth." I didn't challenge him, but in my mind, I said, see two groups of Christians watching the same thing. See what he is seeing, see what I am seeing. It's the same thing. Hallelujah. Worldliness has made the people not to hear the word of God anymore. Through the television, through adverts, magazines, newspapers, they advertise everything to attract the believer and make you think that That is the acceptable way of life. So therefore, no matter what any preacher is preaching, your ears have already been blind. There is something your spirit has been attuned to hear. It responds to certain type of messages. Anything contrary to what your spirit has been tuned to, you will never hear. Therefore, the word becomes unprofitable to you, no matter how it is preached. And I want to say something. Why am I burdened? I saw some things yesterday that shocked me at the wedding yesterday. Particularly, sisters that I thought are believers of what we are preaching here. They are completely hypocrites. If it were deeper life that was wedding yesterday, wouldn't everybody know that deeper life was wedding? Okay. If it was Christ Embassy that was wedding yesterday, wouldn't everybody see that they are Christ Embassy? If it was Choosing that was wedding yesterday, wouldn't everybody see that they are choosing? At least some people will wear some yellow badge. They must advertise something. They must wear their cloth and advertise something. They are not ashamed to wear that anywhere they go. They are not ashamed to identify who they are. Why are you here? And you don't believe what we are doing here. Luke chapter 6. You see why I collected my offering first now. Luke chapter 6. I'm reading verse 46. Luke chapter 6. I'm reading verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? This is the Lord Jesus asking all those his followers. And that question is still relevant today. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. But before I show you who you are like, let's go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And before Mark chapter 8, please, let's go back to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 first. Because that character there, what was disturbing him is the same thing that is disturbing so many of us. Now reading from verse 18, the story of the rich young ruler. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he had this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that had it said, who then can be saved? I love that statement in verse 27. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. That means God can make a rich man drop all his wealth and follow him, if you will allow God to do it. But my emphasis in that story is, see, that man will not kill anybody. He does not commit adultery. He does not commit fornication. He does not steal. He will not bear false witness against anybody. And he was honoring his father and mother. He was a humble man, full of respect for all his elders. He was keeping the Ten Commandments to the letter. Bam! Yet, there is still one thing left. But that thing is not written anywhere. Now listen, church. That is where debate is. I have said it, that when the children of Israel left the wilderness, left Egypt, they passed through the wilderness. Hallelujah. The Bible said they were a mixed multitude. And the promise of God is for his own children that he has foreknown. But see all the people that are back, they are following Moses. They are following Moses. Moses was their pastor. Moses in the wilderness. God knew who they were. And so there must be a process of separation. And you saw how he separated them one by one. Some he used hunger for them to display who they are and pack them one side. Some he used frustration, so they began to murmur. He packed them one side. Some he used fornication, exposed them before naked women in Moab. 23,000 one day died. Yes, now some rose up and followed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram against the Lord's anointed. He used that, separated one day 250. He has his process of separating them. In this age also, everybody is going to church, speaking in tongue. Hallelujah. Singing and worshiping God. Church is everywhere. I love that man of Galilee. He has done so very much for me. Yes, now. I will follow him. I have decided to follow Jesus. And everybody is going. But God knows, among all the people going to church, there is a mixed multitude going there. How many of them will follow me all the way? What did he use in this age? What is using in this age is so subtle, very easy. Ha! When it was time for God to confirm to the Pharisees and Sadducees that they were not worshiping him because they knew who he was, because they loved him, because they were not worshiping God out of a revelation, but out of religion, he said, I set a stone of stumbling in Zion. Who was that stone of stumbling? The Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine, you say you are serving the Lord of hosts. He prophesied in Malachi chapter 3. He said, behold, I sent my servant to prepare the way for me. He said, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And Jesus Christ said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Hallelujah. He said, except you believe that I am he. Hallelujah. He said, Abraham desired to see my day. Hallelujah. Before Abraham was, I am. Isaiah prophesied a virgin shall give birth. Everything that pertained to him in the Bible, in the books that they were holding every day, we are fulfilled. But he came too simple for them to recognize. Therefore, they stumbled over him and fell. That is why he's a stone of stumbling. Anytime God will appear, he comes so simple. People will stumble over him. Who are those? The religious people. Who are those? The church-going people. We stumble over it and fall. It's true. See, what is your yardstick for following the God of Israel? Do you have anything to determine whether this is truth or error? Hallelujah. What do you use? What are you looking for when you come to Christ? What is your compass? What is your guide? You just want to belong to a church? Maybe we decided, Pastor Thomas, we had a meeting and said, let us start a ministry. Let us start a ministry and then we will just be condemning everybody. Let's condemn everybody, condemn people. Let's set up a ministry where people will not wear a ring. Eh? Let's set up, okay. So, when you're going to evangelism, let us be unique. So, let's set up a ministry where women will not wear trousers. They will not wear a ring. Let's set up a ministry where many, many prophets will be producing prophets. We had a meeting, then we came together. I said, what do we go call the name? Maybe that is what gave birth to this church. That is not what gave birth to this church. What produced this ministry started in 1933. What produced this ministry started in 1933. Another stumbling block was set among the Pentecostals, was set among Christians in this age. God fulfilled another scripture that people have been reading and are still reading, and they have not known that scripture has been fulfilled. That God has sent us the ministry of restoration. God has sent us the ministry of restoration. Now, church, listen. What that ministry was going to scream. Some of the things he will say are not written anywhere. That is where the stumbling thing is. Now Jesus Christ, he mentioned the ones that are written. To the man, the rich young man. Don't steal. Yes, it's written now. I've tried to follow it by all means. Don't kill. Yes, it's written. All the Ten Commandments, he said to the letter. Now, there is the spoken word of God and there is the written word of God. You say you have seen the written one. Have you heard the spoken one? That is where the stumbling is. And the law that the Lord Jesus Christ gave that rich young man is not written anywhere. There's nowhere it is written. In the law of Moses that they were holding tenaciously to. That before you will follow God, you should sell all you have. Give it to the poor and follow me. Ha! Which can't tell me that. And yet, the God that gave those 10 commandments is the one that is standing before him now. The man was looking for eternal life. He stood before eternal life. See him, see what he's looking for. See her, see what she's looking for. Near eternal life, but far from it. Why? Because, hallelujah. Why? Because, how will he How will he? Which type of, which kind of team it is? Sell all I have. Sell all I have. Sell all I have. Sell all I have. Hallelujah. The Bible, Jesus Christ said, my commandments are not grievous. They are not grievous. Matthew 19. Can we open it? God's commandments are not grievous. They are not grievous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, hallelujah. Listen. In Matthew 19, blessed be the name of the Lord. From verse 16 is the story of the rich young ruler. That same story we have read. Hallelujah. It's the same story. Verse 27 is a continuation, because it was Jesus Christ that was narrating the story to his disciples. And this is what he said. Verse 26 says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God it is possible for a man to sell all you have and follow him, Jesus. Verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all. Listen, church. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to two groups of people. He told his disciples, Peter, stop that fishing and follow me. Matthew, stop this tax collection and follow me. Everybody, 12 of you, even Judas, stop what you are doing and follow me. And they forsook all. But this one, he will not forsake all. Maybe because Peter's own source of income was wahala before self. He didn't have as much wealth as the rich young ruler. Praise the Lord. Verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. The next question is, what shall we have thereof? What is our reward? Because God can never tell you to make a sacrifice without a reward. And Jesus said unto them, verse 28, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. If there is anybody here, you are an Igbo man, Igbo woman, in the regeneration, if you have forsaken all too. And I will tell you how to forsake. And you follow Jesus in the regeneration also. Hallelujah. In the regeneration. When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory in the millennium, 1,000 years, you too, you will be the governor of your state. Verse 29. And that is my emphasis of reading this scripture. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. That is the assurance that we have. That is the assurance. That is the certainty of assurance that we have. No sacrifice goes without a reward. That thing that you have lost, you will gain it 100-fold if you left it for his name's sake. For his name's sake. A rich young ruler, because of what he has, he was very rich. I'm saying this because there are sisters that I know in this ministry that as a man, I could vouch that 100% they are flowing with us in this revelation we are feasting in this ministry. But unfortunately, a good number of people coming to this church, because of the grace of God, all the reason they make this place their church is for protection. It's for protection. They know that God is here. They know the grace of God is here. They know the ministers here are sincere. They know the ministers here are humble. They have easy access to them. Easy access to them. Easy access to them. It's true. My sister-in-law was telling me this morning. I was complaining to her. A phone call came on my phone this morning. And I saw the number was unidentified. And I was telling my sister-in-law, I said, see the kind of people I have, people who betray confidence. They betray confidence. I am a pastor. I know my responsibility towards my members. I have a dedicated line for my ministry. It's written in the newsletter, it's in the magazine, it's everywhere. It's not secret. I have it for ministry. And everyone that calls on that line, I answer. Then, like every other man, I have a private line for me and my family. Because, you know, I mean, everybody is entitled to some privacy. I mean, I don't have to explain any further. Everyone, including your pastor, is entitled to privacy. And for any reason, I will feel I should give my private line. Maybe there's something I am monitoring for you. And I give, I say, this is my private line. Then somebody will take it. Now, pastor number in the phone, take this one. And then the phone will ring and I will say, this must be an important something. And I pick it. Hello, pastor, please, I've been wanting to see you. How do you get this number? A member gave me. Of course, I will attend to you. But it is wrong. It is very wrong. Nobody does that. No enlightened person does that. It is your obligation. Look, when you come to me and you make confession to me, for instance, you tell me private thing and I take it and go and discuss with my wife, it makes me a profane person. No true minister does that. You must respect people's privacy. As I respect yours, you respect mine too. It's wrong. And so anybody that calls on that line and is not identified, I don't answer. I will give somebody to direct you back to the line and talk to people. When you call, then I will answer you. I'm entitled to it. And there's no apology for refusing to answer your call. But why I'm saying so is, I told my sister-in-law, said, but your members are lucky. I said, why? You mean you have a line anybody can call? I said, sure, I am their pastor. And they have a right to talk to me directly. If you are my member, you have a right to call me and talk to me. Praise the Lord. Any man that says he's a pastor and does anything to separate himself, cut himself from his members, is then something is wrong with him. I'm not sure he's in the ministry of a pastor. Praise the Lord. Now that is the truth. She says it is that your members are lucky. In her own church, who is she to be able to call and speak to her GO? I said, well, that is your church, not Bride Assembly. But I also know that that is also abused. It's abused. Somebody will carry phone and call me at 12 o'clock, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Pastor, thank 2 a.m. You are jumping up to pick the call. Maybe there's an emergency. They say, Pastor, thank God, I don't get you today. What happened? Pastor, I've been trying to see you since. Any emergency? Pastor, nothing they want for my life. Is that why you are waking me up by this time? Amen. Now that's not proper. That's not proper. You should respect that time you are waking me. What if I am in the spirit? The Lord is ministering something to me. You've cut me off. Anyway, I'm just using that, praise the Lord, to express something that maybe because you see how simple, how easy we are here, so you feel this is the right place to make your church. That is why you are here. You don't care what we believe. And why will I not think so? Hallelujah. Why will I not think so? What have you done to show that you are a member of a family? We gather like this. We are supposed to be a family. We are supposed to be a family. What do you do to show you are members of a family? In your village, the head of your family, maybe your papa or your uncle, if your father is dead, his daughter, he's giving his daughter out in marriage. Will you not attend the occasion? No, answer me. Will you not attend the occasion? Does he have to specially invite you? Will you not even come to sponsor it? Will you not contribute to it? Your pastor gave out his daughter yesterday in marriage. How many of you came? That's my pastor. Yet you call me daddy. Stop calling me daddy. Call me brother. Because you are not relating to me as that. That's the truth. That's the truth. Even the workers here. How many of you came? You are waiting for me to come and specially invite you, Avi. Why? That is why I say I am not deceived by the crowd sitting down here. I am not. I know better than that. I know better than that. Why did the storm come? Day before yesterday in the morning, a woman brought the biggest fish I have ever seen in my life. Came in. I told my wife, ordered for this thing, and she came. And they opened the door. I said, come in. And my wife was getting excited. And I was signaling my wife. I said, who she be? Who she be now? Who she be? Because I have so many in-laws. I don't know whether or not one of them they come. And she said, church member now. I said, church member. That is her own gift she brought for the wedding. I don't know her. That means she has never come to me for prayer. She has never come to me for prayer. If not, I for Noah. But how many? Some of you came, some. A good number of people came. But I'm saying, but out of this crowd that come to Bride Assembly and said they are members of Bride Assembly, how many of you came? It's because you are not part of the family. You are not. You are only here as a cover to take cover from all the fiery darts of the enemy here. They can hide here. And therefore, you don't care to find out what do we stand for in this church. If you don't know what we stand for, how can you even fight over what we stand for? When you see a brother doing something wrong, a sister doing something wrong, and claiming to be a member, how will you fight and say it's a lie? You can't do this and be part of our family. Because you don't even know what we stand for. It's true. And so, the effect is what we are seeing. Look at people. Come and see how they dressed yesterday. Not people who came here last week, people who have been here from Mafoluku, they transfer with us to come here. They were among those carrying sand to build this place. With their mouth, I am bride. But in their heart, far from what we believe. They fear men more than God. That's why he says hypocrites. Hypocrites, they will hide, remove their earring. Hey, Bill, I say, Pastor, they are, hey, Kakamata. Kakamata, because this man see me, I don't say he go preach me. I see you yesterday, I dey preach on today. Anytime I see, I go preach. I'm not to raise hypocrites. Not to raise hypocrites. Two cannot work together except they be agree. You disagree with our doctrine, then why are you worshiping here? You disagree with our doctrine, why are you worshiping here? Who sent you come? Who forced you to sit down here? You're a hypocrite. Maybe pastor see me yesterday, now make talk. Now you I see, now you. Now you are a hypocrite. Hypocrite. The worst hypocrite. Somebody that will do that in a church. Your life is full of hypocrisy. It's not only with God you do it. It's the whole life. You live a life of hypocrisy. You are a hypocrite. Because you identify with a people that you don't believe in what they believe in. Makes you a hypocrite. Oh, hypocrite in brother assembly, listen. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Verse 34. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the disciples unto him, when he has called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. Now verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He who has ear to hear, let him hear. This is thus said the Lord. The reason is you are ashamed. What will people feel about me? All my friends are saying I'm now ugly. I'm not fine again because I have decided to be natural. I've decided to be natural. Ah, shame they catch me. He sees my look. Everywhere I go in my office, they laugh me. My boss say, I know a young girl here that went for interview. And as she entered, no earring, no nothing, no the natural. The panel, the chairman looked at her and said, why are you not wearing a ring and things like that? He said, it's because I'm a Christian. And then he pointed to another. But these ones too are Christians. Well, he said, this is how I want to serve my God. Simple. Which other question again? The man said, that's all now. If that is how they want to serve, this is how I want to serve my God. Now, this action you take has advantage, has disadvantage. It's true. I also know that when a sister here with her husband went to look for a house they wanted to rent, and the woman, the landlady, when he went with the wife, the wife is a pretty woman, but very natural in appearance. She was not putting on earrings and things like that. And the landlady was looking at her. They just negotiated and left. And later on told the agent that came. He said, I just admire that lady. I am sure they must be Christians. He said, please, those are the people I want to occupy my house. She fell in love with her. See how pretty she looks. And you are saying it is so that you will get work. That's why you dress like Jezebel, Abby. You are saying it is so that they will not sack you from your place of work. That is why you are dressing the way you are dressing, Abby. Even somebody, so that I will get a husband. That is why I am dressing like that, Abby. Osage, George, when you saw Esther, where is it? Amen. See, let me leak one secret for you people. See, that man was worshiping in Christ's embassy. See, all those Jezebels, imagine how they would shake for him every service. See how they would shake for him. But he saw this girl and decided to go. No earring, appearing natural. Hallelujah. The day I saw him, I was discussing. He said, sir, this type is not easy to see. Ever before he came, because I had to ask him. I mean, when somebody break the security of your house, I enter inside. Do you know what he did, the effort he did before he reached that level? I have a dog in my house. That dog has refused to befriend Samuel. Samuel is from Calabar. Anytime that dog sees Samuel, the fight is always different. But when that dog, I was seen. Osage entered my house and the dog was shaking tail. I said, So I had to sit him down to ask him, what happened? Who are you? Hallelujah. Then Esther came and daddy, Nahim did that now. Nahim. Oh, Nahim. But you are from Christ's embassy. How come with all those girls, how come you can't come after this one? He said, this type is not easy to find. So you, your own, you are putting all those things so that you will get husband, Abby. Which type of husband will you get? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, remember Lord's wife. Remember Lord's wife. Lord and his wife had a rare opportunity to hear the message. What is the message? The message is Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be burnt up. Come out of her, my people. That is the message. Sodom and Gomorrah, fire will soon come down. But the grace of God has found you, Lot, and your family. Come out of her, my people. And Lot said, oh yeah, let's go. She was following with her legs, but her heart was still in Sodom. I don't know what has dragged you to Bread Assembly. Where is your heart? Come here with your heart also. And she turned back. She looked back. She looked back. She looked back till today. Till today. She became a pillar of salt. But Saul, Lot, they were living together now. If you won't go, don't hinder me. I believe that's the song, Lot. Because, say they were talking, discussing. We thank God. Lot and his wife, certainly they were discussing as they were going. Hey, I never heard this kind of message before. Kai, this church is unique. Hey, wonderful. Wonderful. See how God moved. See, did you see those prophets? They are not ordinary people. Those are angels. A person go know your name, know your address, know everything like that. This church. Now waiting Lot they talk with that. Oh, hi, amazing grace. How sweet the aye. Hey, fire will come. Oh, but God has opened my eye. Our eyes of understanding. Now so they talk, they go, but small time. The woman was one step behind. Lot had said, don't look back. In a talk, smart and the woman know the answer him again. He can't turn back. Have you seen a genuine seed of God? I have decided and I have made up my mind. I will serve the Lord. Some of us have not yet made up our mind. Did Saul look back? Saul didn't look back. Oh, I can just imagine Saul moving, talking, you know, hear reply again. Lot. I can see they were working together. You know, hear anything again. Let's navigate next Friday. Even she herself, I'm not going to miss her more. You know, yeah. And you cannot turn back. Nay. Honey. Maybe he could have done like this because he said, don't look back. Too far. Too far. Nay. Nay. Honey. Hallelujah. For the love of his wife, did he turn back? What shall separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not my commandments? Why call ye me Lord, Lord? In Genesis 35, God told Abraham, Jacob, to go to Bethel and worship me. Remember your covenant with me. The first thing a revelated child of God will do, you are coming to God by your own terms or by his own terms. You must come. How will I worship this God? He's not a human being. Every society has her rules, her do's and don'ts. And Jacob said, told them, God that visited me when I was going, before I got all this wealth, has asked me to go and worship him. Hey, you my wives and all these my children, sanctify yourselves and put away all the strange gods. The Bible says, among the strange things they dropped was their earrings. Now, if that does not give you a key, you will never catch a key again to understand anything in the Bible. He said, drop the strange gods. And among the things they dropped when they were going to worship God was earring. They dropped their earrings. Which gospel is telling you to wear your own? Nobody told Jacob, look, drop your ring. God only told him, go to Bethel and worship me. He's a Jew. He knows the God of his fathers. He's a prophet, a spiritual man. He knows how to approach. He said, drop strange gods. Now, it simply means that among the Jews, the children of Abraham, there are some things that are strange in their culture. In their culture, they don't worship idols. So drop those idols. You can't take them along to Bethel. In their culture, they don't wear earrings. Drop them. They are strange. And Christianity today, there are some things also that are strange in Christianity. There are some things that are strange. You don't hear that a Christian goes to marry more than one wife. Polygamy is strange in Christianity. It's true. Except if you married them before you came to Christ. But now that you are born again, Christianity, you cannot marry more than one wife. It is strange for a Christian man to drive away his wife and go and marry another. It's strange. It is strange for a Christian to gossip another Christian. It is strange. William Branham said, elect does not persecute elect. It is strange to find two brothers, brother, brother, fighting and landing in the police station. It is strange. It is strange. It is strange. It is strange for a Christian to go and sit down in the beer parlor to drink alcohol. It is strange. It is strange. It is strange for Christian brothers and sisters to go into courtship the way people go. And then your girlfriend will come and sleep in your house. It is strange. In fact, it's abomination. It's abomination. It's abomination for you to sleep with your girlfriend before you marry her. It is strange in Christianity. It is strange. There are things that are strange. It is strange in this age and in this part of the world for Christians, sisters, to wear trousers. It is strange. It is strange for a Christian woman to dress and appear of all characters. You pick the character of Jezebel to dress like her. It is strange. Jezebel was not a Jew. Jezebel was not a Jew. Why of all the characters, it is Jezebel you want to imitate? You say, how? Those cortex you put, that paint you put in your leg, which character did you pick it from? That nonsense you do to your hair, which character did you pick it from? Church, do you know how Jezebel ended up? Dogs, 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 finish her. She was only fit as dog meat. You will not be a dog meat in the name of Jesus. Strange, strange. Go and carry Chinese hair, put here. Carry American hair, put here. And you are walking and you are speaking in tongue. Which tongue? Which tongue? That is why I believe with the whole of my heart that anointing of the Holy Ghost is different from baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit that dwells in you, the Bible said, don't you know that the Spirit that dwells in you lusted to envy? To envy. Therefore, it will never allow you act like the world. If you have a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, it will teach you how to live a life of righteousness. Not by force. Not living it to please a man, to please a woman. No, to please your pastor. No. is a relationship between you and God. Between you and God. Stop this hypocrisy. Stop it. Earring is strange. All this nonsense jewelry is strange in Christianity. How? In Hosea chapter 12 verse 13, he says, by a prophet, he, God, led the children of Israel from Egypt. And by a prophet, he established them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 20, what did he say you should do? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What did he say you should do? You don't know that scripture? Believe in who? And what will happen? Believe, believe, believe. The emphasis is believe. Believe, believe. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you prosper. Believe in his prophets, so shall you be. No, believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. And believe in his prophet, you shall prosper. You shall prosper. Believe in the Lord your God, you will be established. Believe in his prophets. That is when you will prosper spiritually. Because why a prophet? The word of the Lord always comes to a prophet. The word of God, that is the office of a prophet. I'm not talking of the gift of prophecy. I'm talking about dispensational prophets. In every dispensation, God will raise a prophet and give his people a bearing. In this age, he raised a prophet by the name William Marion Branham to give his elect in this age a bearing. He is an American, yet he said, this is thus saith the Lord. Drop those earrings, sister. Don't wear trousers. Leave your hair natural. It is thus saith the Lord. By our prophet. By our prophet. If you believe him, you will prosper. I believe him. I believe him. Oh, I don't know how many more people believe him. I believe him. I believe him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why will you, looking for God, come so far? Jump from church to church. Something inside of you, sincerely looking for where to worship. And he who seeks will find. You were seeking for truth. God brought you where you will find truth. And just because of fashion. Just because of fashion. Because of earring. Because you want to paint your lips. Because you want to wear those witch's nails. Because you want to wear trousers. It brings out my shape so that I will find husband. You want people to see how beautiful you are by dressing naked on the streets. Any man that will come and chase you because he saw your nakedness, he's looking for a feel-alright relationship. After he has gotten you, of course, he will look for another one wear dress like that again. Because that is what attracted him to you. That's the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are people that are coming here, brothers,